Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
...that we started with, but let's look at Mark chapter 12 as we've done every week. Let's read together Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31, because it's good for us to read the Word and get it really ingrained in us. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Okay, Jesus had been confronted, as we have talked about for several weeks, by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and now by a scribe, leading up to this question about which was the greatest commandment. Now, last week, we broke down the full response, which probably a lot of us have overlooked, the first part of, "Hear, O Israel." And we kind of pressed into what that meant. So if you weren't with us, feel free to go online and kind of catch up there. And when we're talking about loving God with all of our mind, we have come to this conclusion that that means how we process information, what we allow in, what we allow out, that we're supposed to love God with our desires, with our emotions, and with our will. And I think that that's really good. But today we're going to go to talking about what does it mean to love the Lord our God with all of our strength. Some translations you may have, this says all of your might. This is going to be very interesting. And today we're going to go and we're going to look at the Hebrew context. We're going to look at the Greek context. But then we're going to take a quick right turn and look at the Aramaic context of what these mean, because that's the language Jesus spoke. So we're going to go back and first start with where Jesus got this answer, again, as we've done every week, from this very familiar prayer that they prayed two times a day, comes directly from Scripture. It's called the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, as Moses is, he's just recounted the Ten Commandments, and now he's encouraging Israel, and he tells them, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." And these words, I wanted to press into this next part. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them," what's the next word? "Diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." This is a pretty wonderful thing. We should be encouraging the next generation to love the Lord our God. These very words, we should be modeling that. The best way to encourage somebody is, in fact, to model it for them. And I understand, that sometimes can be difficult. But God gives us this command to teach the next generation to be spiritually minded. And I just want to, before we go any further, re-emphasize to all of us in the church family and in this community to be spiritually minded and to teach the next generation to be spiritual minded, because there is a marked departure of spiritual mindedness within our culture today. Okay, we're moving further and further away from the underpinnings of our culture. And so I think when we come back to these foundational words, it's very, very critical to do this model. We have to model it. We have to press to loving God with all of our might. So let's start here with this Hebrew context. When we're talking about this word strength, loving God with all of our strength or with all of our might, it's this Hebrew word, it's ma'od. Okay, everybody say ma'od. Okay, ma'od. So, not mode like this, but it's ma'od. And it means, it's an interesting word. It literally means very or much. But it almost goes a little further than that. There's a wonderful YouTube channel called The Bible Project. I strongly encourage anyone, if you're starting a book study, go check out those Bible Project videos. They're fantastic. And they actually do a great job of breaking this word down. And it's an adverb. And those of you grammarians, you word geeks, an adverb basically intensifies another word. Okay, so it's like it's very, it's much, or it might mean like extremely. So you remember when God created the heavens and the earth, and he would create something, and then he'd sit back and he'd say, and it was good, right? He's saying, God said it was good. At the very end, in Genesis 1:31, he gets done with creation, and he sits back and he says, and he looked, and it was very good. That's the word ma'od. Okay, he's saying it's very good. It's very good. And maybe a better way for us to understand what it means to love our Lord, our God, very is with our muchness. How's that for a word? Our muchness. So what does it mean? That means with all that we are, all of our substance, all of our possessions, everything that God has given us. It's not a specific all that we do, but it's all that we have in addition to that. And maybe the easiest way for us to break that down is this question, which is our first point today. Am I intensely loving the Lord? What's my level of my intensities? Now, I guess I'm going to ask you some questions here this morning. And these are not fun questions, but I really believe that they are, in fact, fair questions. Because as Indy said here this morning, is another really good example of, sitting in church thinking about fishing, or fishing thinking about the Lord. What is it that we really have an intensity? What is it that we passionately pursue? Okay, if I examine my relationship with God, do I have even a fainting level of passion in pursuing him? Because we should be loving him with our muchness. There should be some part of that. So a good question is, how does my pursuit of God compare to other areas of my life? Now, I know a lot of us, now, as a youngster growing up, I would have said probably not well, because pursuing God is boring. Just being very, very honest, very candid. And that is because I really didn't understand the translation of religion versus relationship. When you're forced to, okay, you have to do a religious act, okay? And again, I think it's very, very important that we do need to raise our children, and we do need to model these things, and we do need to, to have them in the environments. But when we look and examine, how are we modeling muchness? Here's what was transformational to me, was to be around people who got it. Because the people in my life who should have gotten it didn't get it. And so what I learned was a shell. I'll never forget. The first time hanging around Ken Bradbury was like a very influential figure in my life. And I remember, it's like, you have fun going to church? What is wrong with you, man? Really? Why would you do that? It's boring in there. I began to realize that something had clicked. And as I began to see someone who was modeling, going after God with their muchness, it was contagious. And then it began to translate my life to a certain degree. And then I began to see that same thing happening to other individuals. How do we worship God with our muchness? How do we develop a passionate pursuit? I mean, I guess it's a fair question. I was thinking about the angel of the Lord in his conversation, in the letter to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. I mean, consider this. The angel of the Lord writes to the church of Laodicea, I know your works, you're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich and I have prospered, I have need of nothing, not realizing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. So I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich in white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves and end the shame of your nakedness, that it would not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit on my throne. And I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's pretty straightforward there. Do I pursue God with my muchness? And what does that even look like? What does it mean? Does my zeal for other areas exceed my zeal for loving the Lord? Now, I know some people are going to turn around, well, Pastor, you just want us to just sit in church all day long. No. I'm saying it doesn't mean that you can't do anything else. Where it's problematic is when we do other things and God's not a part of it. I'll never forget the first time actually building a house with other true followers of Jesus. And it transformed everything. It really did. I mean, you can work. You can be in environments. That's why things like Fellowship of Christian Athletes and other types of organizations that teach, there's Christian businessmen's organizations. Like what? I thought that my business life was here. My education life was here. My sports life was here. And my, you know, professional, my family life, all these other areas, my financial life. And then there was my God life. That's not worshiping the Lord with your muchness. And what you basically have is a God for this, a God for this, a God for this, a God for this, a God for this. And the very beginning of this entire discussion was, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one God over every area of our life." So what, I can passionately pursue God and my finances? Oh, you better believe it. I can passionately pursue God and my job? Yeah. I can be a golfer on Saturday and love God? Well, you ought to. You call out his name anyway. Bad preacher. I'm not saying, look, here's what I'm presenting, or I'm offering to each one of us to consider. I'm not saying don't have passion for other areas. I'm saying invite God into that passion, and I believe it'll be transformational. Okay? Am I intensely loving the Lord? All right, so that's for their just kind of a flyover, basic understanding of the Hebrew concept, ma'od. But now let's look at the Greek word. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your might. Now, the Greek word is very interesting. It's in the same line as the word dunamis, which we've talked about before. It has this context of power, has a context of ability. So our concept of loving God with all of our strength, with all of our might, in addition to our muchness, it has to do with our ability and our power. Okay? In other words, all that I am. No holding back. Think about all the abilities that you have. Do I have abilities that I just, you know, hoard for myself, or I just use for other areas, or am I allowing them all to go after God? So treating my entire being as if it is God's. And so my question for this answer is, am I loving the Lord with all of my ability? You know, I have to say today, I certainly appreciate greatly individuals who sacrificed of their time. We had Mike Smith who came up in his tractor and cleaned out. Would you appreciate that you could get to the building today? Steve Tharp, the only way you get into the admin building, Steve Tharp gave of his time. We had people who came up, people who gave of their time, who gave of their abilities to brothers and sisters whom they love. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. We have people who do that all the time, from volunteering in sound to serving in various areas, to serving the rest of the congregation. We had a deacons meeting the other day where we began to talk about embracing that concept of serving God with all of our ability, with all of our might, with all of our strength. And as much as this entire conversation over the last month, we have talked about serving God with our heart, and we've talked about serving God with our mind and our thoughts and our emotions, one thing that we've kind of maybe forgotten about is our physical being. Because to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, does that exempt our physical being? No, of course it doesn't. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. This was our scripture verse for today. It begins, as Paul is talking about dedicating our whole body to God, he begins, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body." And then he goes into this, our real focus verse. "Or do you not know that your body is what, gang? He's a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are," everybody read this, right? "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Great piece of advice that I was given and that I try to give my children is if you borrow something, you take care of it. In fact, I was taught this one phrase. When you borrow something, when you return it in better shape than when you borrowed it. If you're borrowing somebody's lawnmower or their car or something, you turn it back with a full tank of gas. Right? You're borrowing somebody's chainsaw, you sharpen it, you turn it back in, you give it back to somebody in better shape than you received it. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, nothing's more annoying when you loan something out and then if you do get it back and it's all rusty and it's all not taken care of well, that's kind of irritating now, isn't it? Now I want you to think about something. You are not your own. Talk about a statement that spits in the face of our current culture. Because in our current culture, everything is about me, 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 me. I mean, they're like opera singers. Me, me, me. And so everything is me, me, me. That was a joke. No one got that. Okay. Everything is about meanness. And here, God is, really, we have to understand that we are not our own. And that includes our bodies. And I think that some of us, in the church today, in 2020, I'm going to say 19, I know, we do a kind of a poor job of taking care of the temple, right? And this is not trying to body shame or anything like that. It's just simply saying that we have to understand. When you do understand that you're not your own, you're going to be compelled more. I mean, if there's things and there's tasks that God has for us to do, and we do not take care of our bodies, we're not going to be able to do them to the best ability that we can now, can we? So that's part of stewarding our bodies is something very important, okay? I mean, that think about the clause contextually that Jesus says. You know, after he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbors as..." That means you better love yourself. Now, I get it. That's a hard one for some of us. For some of us, we can love others, but we do, in fact, struggle loving ourselves. And so we have to begin to look at what this really means. What does it mean to love ourselves? That's God's advice. I think we really need to look at that to press in. I'm not trying to, chase this rabbit too far, but I think that there is legitimacy to that. If we really want to worship God and we really want to love him with everything, that means we are going to have to love ourselves because God loves you. And if God loves you, okay, so I had a few moments where, a lot of us have spent a lot of time working in the sanctuary remodel. And then I've had some times since the remodel and since we've done some things that we've had some folks who've come in and sometimes they don't treat things well. And I'm really happy about it. You get kind of irritated, don't you? Right? When you work on something and you really pour into it and you care about something and then someone treats it poorly, doesn't it kind of irritate you a little bit? I want you to know that God loves you. And sometimes the way we treat ourselves, we need to just get a glimpse, because some of us torture ourselves and we don't treat ourselves well. And this seems, kind of talking on both sides of the fence, but it's legit. Quit beating yourself down. God loves you. Listen to how God talks to you and then adopt that same perspective. I'm not encouraging arrogance or pride. I'm encouraging spiritual health, physical health, emotional health, and mental health. Because God loves you, and you're not junk. You have value in His eyes. All right, so we've talked about this this Hebrew context of the word, now the Greek context of the word. But I really felt, I think it was worthy for us to do one more area, and to talk about this Aramaic concept of this word strength or might. So to love the Lord our God with all of our strength or might, and we realize, we try to get a comprehension of that here in the language that Jesus spoke, it means all of our wealth. In fact, it's translated, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your wealth. Wait a minute. Preacher, I heard that there's a building campaign coming up, and now you're meddling. You're trying to get into our wallets. Would you just give me just a few minutes? Because when you talk about money, people get funny. And I'm going to show you that I believe that there is a connection here. You with me? Or have you tuned me out? Because if we're going to love the Lord with all that we are, that means that we love Him with all that we have, correct? Yes. That means no holding back. To love God with everything at our disposal. All of our resources. Now, I want you to consider this eerily similar conversation that Jesus had with a young man in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. Because this young man comes to Jesus, and it's very interesting what he says. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now look at what Jesus' response is. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now let's pause right there. What he was really trying to get him to understand is a little piece of the Trinity. That literally he was God. That he should be calling him good because he's God. And there's only one God. And here he was part of it. So that's little mind for a minute. He says, you know the command. And then he pushes him back. Verse 19. Look, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. That's six commandments, right? Last I checked, we had, you know, the main big commandments. There were how many? 10. So we just did six. You know what these six commands were? The horizontal commands. In other words, there's no way you can fix vertical by following the law. What were the other commands? The other four? You're going to have no other gods before them. You're not going to make any idols, graven images. You're going to remember the Sabbath. You're going to keep it holy. You're not going to take the Lord's name in vain. So look, you can't, through the law, you can't even begin to scratch the surface of fixing your relationship vertically, so I'm not even going to talk about that. We're just going to deal with the vertical things just to start here, and then here's his response. He said, and he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, now, this next part's important. Jesus looked at him, and he was really perturbed, and he was irritated at him. Is that what Scripture says? It's not. It says, and Jesus looked at him and he loved him. In other words, his motive towards him is good. Jesus is not trying to bust him out. He's not trying to make him sad. He loves him. And he says, you lack one thing. Well, actually, I can think of four things, but he's just wrapping this all into one. He said, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Verse 22 is a very disturbing verse. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I take issue with this last sentence. I think a better way for us to read that last sentence is, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for great possessions had him. I think that's a better way for us to understand that. Going on. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. That's a powerful sentence for us in Western culture. The most prosperous culture on earth that has ever been. Our standard of living compared, you know, I talk to the old timers when I say the old time, you know, and they talk about living through the Great Depression. And it's fascinating when you sit down and you hear stories. of people who literally lived hand to mouth, who had, and here we are a prosperous society. And I know we can complain about our hardships, but we don't know squat. Right? And if we want to roll that back another generation past that, it was even harder. Because we're hearing stories of people who immigrated to the United States and didn't have anything at all, and yet worked and had opportunity. That's why I love this country so much, is for the opportunity that it offers. And here, this comment. Man, look, gang, this is legitimate stuff. Because a lot of us, we don't worship God with passion because we don't think we need Him. If our entire existence comes down to how thoroughly, lavishly we can furnish our surroundings, heaven, you think heaven's going to be a letdown? We've not become spiritually minded. He said, look, verse 25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Because, I mean, this is pretty rough. If someone comes up and says, get rid of everything and follow me. One of my most favorite memories when I lived in Europe was going to the town of Assisi and hearing the story and walking the same areas of St. Francis of Assisi. And the legend goes that St. Francis, as he began his conversion experience, and he came from a well-to-do family, and he literally got rid of absolutely everything. In fact, to the point of stripping himself naked and then walking away from that life. And then began to have fellowship with God and did amazing things for the Lord with his life. Says, and they were exceedingly astonished. Who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, with God, but not with God. For all things are possible of God. Jesus' challenge to this man was basically, look, what do you love most? And sadly, this man's answer, he went away sad because of all the things that he had, or all the things that had him. Now, I'd like to tell you, look, this man thought he was keeping the commandments, but he was missing the greatest command, loving God with all of his heart, with his soul, with his mind, and with his might. If you loved God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might, you would have probably rejoiced at the opportunity that Jesus gave to follow him. Don't you agree with that? None of you want to respond because you think I'm going to take an offering. I promise I'm not. Might be a good idea, but I'm not. Absolutely not. Because there are a few things that you have to get with God. I don't even, to be honest, and I've talked to the elders about this, and they all get kind of mad at me. I wish we didn't collect an offering during the service. I just wish people could just take care of it so it doesn't become anything. There's not show, there's not anything. I just wish people would just take care of it. We have the opportunities that people want to give online or give electronically. We've got those things. That's fine. But it's important. It doesn't mean that giving's not important. It means giving's really, really important, because Jesus said where your treasure is, there's your heart. So Jesus was challenging him. And he was saying, what do you love most? And this man's possessions had his muchness. It had become an idol. It was in between him and God. And Jesus offered him a remedy. There's something in your way with loving God with your muchness. And I'm going to give you the opportunity. By the way, this would have been a good investment for this man. And I want to roll back and tell you why. Because at the day that this man is going to have an appointed end, there's going to come a day where he's going to breathe his last breath. At that moment, were all of his possessions going to go with him? Every person who I have been with in that sacred moment, when they take their last breath, their bank accounts don't go vroom. I've never seen that happen. I've never heard of that happening. And yet, we hold on to things where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. As one who's been robbed, I'm going to tell you, it's not a fun feeling. And yet, Jesus offered him an investment, saying, you're going to have treasures. You're going to have multiplied wealth in heaven. If somebody offered you a great investment with zero risk, you'd be foolish not to take it now, wouldn't you? Unless you didn't believe. unless you didn't trust. Preachers, what are you saying this for? Because I want us to experience what it means to love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. This would have been a good investment for heaven, and it would have been a good investment here on the earth. So in conclusion, just my last point is a question for us. Do I love the Lord with all that I have? Do I love God with my muchness? Do I love Him with all of my ability? Do I love Him with all that I have? Do I find it a struggle to just be in obedience when God asks me for time or for talent or for treasure? Remember Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Love God with all that we have.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.